Shavua Tov. Good morning.
Good morning. Shavua Tov. Mirandola. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute. Got our person.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Ana Betoa. Ana Betoa. Gedula Chimincha Dati Terura Alapekino Yutav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sag Beinu Acharenu No Ra Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sidkata Tamid Gamlem Betet Reish Tzadidat Gimel Hasin Kadosh Biro Tucha Nael Adata Et Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zohre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yutah. We brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohewahe, Adonai Yohewahe, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, V'ral chesed ve'emet, notzer chesed la'alafim, noseyaon wafesha, v'chata'a v'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parashat Yitro. It is Pasuk 29. And we'll start with the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishinte Bithilu Urchimud Hilu Hilu Urchimu Be'achta L'Shem Yudhe Bavalhe B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Masa Yadenu Konenei Aleinu Masa Yadenu Konenei U. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Tar Tane Nan Dekudsha Berichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Wittata Kolaihu Kishot Be'ovada Dikshot Belei lach mila bialma divaye barnash bedach yaleya mineya ulan haga beya kalana tehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikola it's the reef bialma. The energy of the year 5780, our current year, has a revealed aspect that connects to the word compensate. And a concealed aspect, it reconnects to the word Shefa. Shefa is the goodness of Hashem as it drips or flows into the physical world. The way we reveal the Shefa and connect it to the compensation is by studying various verses from the Tanakh that have the same similar energy. Today we will study Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4. Atishpod otam, atishpod ben adam, ben ha'to avot, avotam hodiyam. The translation, will thou judge them, son of man, will thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. In this verse, connects to the year 5780, the year 5786, and the year 5789. The energy of the year is peace in the Middle East. We study one verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Usamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakam ta'ata v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote ala me, mehe shila lahe aka aka heta, hezayo ala da la. La awa he he ya. Yo he kome. La awa kala yo. La wa wa pe he la. Nu la ha yo yo. Me la he 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 wa. Nu ta he he ya a yo re ta shi a he. Reyo yo awame lakabe washire yo he wa la he he kawako me nuda anu yo he ame re he ayo yoza he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he apsa ala reyo ashila me yo he. Wahe wa danu yo he he shi ame me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo da me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa. Pray a hey yo be me, hey yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim using the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a be. Me be shi a la yo hey a du a ka me ta. Hey hey yo anu da la hey wa hey mea yo ta la me re hey hey yo yo hey me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la Du me fa yo ke yo me du he se se wa. Nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he. Re la yo a wa me lo la yo be wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me du da. Anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za. Hey she hey me ka ha wa wa la yo yo hey. A sa a la re yo a la me ta hey. Wa hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me. Nu hey a nu wa ta me la hey pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la hey be hey me za re. Wa he be yo wa he a la wa me za yo. La he be me ka ko a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 26th day of Cheshvan. Rabbi Simcha ben Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Abba ben Rabbi Yitzhak Abuchatzeria, Rabbi Shlomo Segal, Rabbi Raphael Hoken of Hamburg, Rabbi Arya Mordechai Haberstam, Rabbi Elia Jaransky, Rabbi Mordechai Zimmerman. And as our normal pattern, on Sunday we also connect to the Tzaddikim who will leave tonight, the 27th day of Cheshvan. And this particular day is the ending of the flood. Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabbi David Yitzhak Lazer, Rabbi Yaakov Lazer, the Peshevorsky Rebbe. Since Israel is still in a live war, we will also say the battlefield, the battle prayer for active battles. Hear me, Yahu Leman, Shem Ha Kadosh, Pechatahor Hayotze. Mahapasuk hey, ilachem lachem v'yatem tacharishun shiteten lechaylenu v'lakol shomrei amcha Yisrael koach v'hatzeli chalenetzach. V'chol anim ben b'davur, ben v'chachma, ben b'kom reva, uvadin v'hayehu, had divarei hachamachatam, mishmaim mi'anei, kol adam. Connecting Bishum Divar Bako Hashem Hazeh Umako Roshehu Zeyuke Valke Yoni meditation. Malchut. Yo ahe ni wa yo he. Yo ahe ni wa yo he. Yo ahe ni wa yo he. Yisod. Yo ahu ni wu yo hu. Yo ahu ni wu yo hu. Yo yo ahu ni wu yo hu. Od. Yo ahu ni wu yo hu. Yo ahu ni wu yo hu. Yo ahu ni wu yo hu. Netzach. Yi ahi ni wu yo hi. Yi ahi ni wu yo hi. Yi ahi ni wu yo hi. Tiferet. Yo aho ni wo yo ho. Yo aho ni wo yo ho. Yo aho ni wo yo ho. Gevura. Ye ach ni wo yo. 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 Chesed. Here I have ni way your hair. Here I have ni way your hair. Here I have ni way your hair. Bina. Here I have ni way your hair. Here I have ni way your hair. Here I have ni way your hair. Hachma. Here I have ni way your hair. Here I have ni way your hair. Ya aha ni wa yo ha. Keter. Ya aha ni wa yo ha. Ya aha ni wa yo ha. Ya aha ni wa yo ha. The Esther Dibrot. Vaydaber Elohim et kol ha-devarim. Ha'ele le'mor, Anochi Hashem, Eloheha Asher, Hotzeiti Chame'eretz Mitzrayim, Mi'beit Avadim, Lo Yihye Lecha Elohim Acherim, Al Panai, Lo Taseh Lecha. Pesel, we're called to Munah, Asher Bashamayim Bibal. Washer Baretz Mitachat, Vayasher Bamayim Mitachat Laretz. Lo Tishtachewe Lachem. Willo ta'avdem, ki anochi Hashem. Elohecha Elkana, poken awon avot al banim, al shileishim v'al ribeim, v'shonai v'yose, pesed la'alapim, v'yohavai u'shomrei, mitzvotai lo tisa, et shem Hashem Elohecha. La'ashav ki lo ninake Hashem, et asher yisa et shemo. La'ashav zachor et yom, ha'shabbat lekadsho. Sheshet yamim tavod v'yasita gomelach techa v'yom hashvi'i shabbat l'adonai elohecha lo ta'ase gomelach melacha ata uvimcha uvitecha Avdecha wa'amadcha uvhemtecha v'gercha asher Asher b'sharecha ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz et ha-yam v'et kol asher bam v'ayanach v'ayom ha-shvi'i al kein berach Hashem et yom ha-shabbat v'ayikad shehu Gaben et avicha, v'et imecha, leman yarikun. Yamecha al ha'adama, asher Hashem Elohecha. Noten lach lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignof. Lo tane bereacha ed shaker, lo tachmod beit reecha, lo tachmod eshed reecha, v'avdo v'amato v'shoro achamoro v'kol asher li reach. The Ma meditation. But first we will do the Shema Israel, the two verses. Please cover your eyes. Lean slightly to the left as we say together, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud. Yud hey, Yud hey wav, Yud hey wav hey, Yud, Yud hey, Yud hey wav, Yud hey wav hey. The abridged Kaddish, which we utilize as an elevator to rise to the level of our class.
And we all say Amen. It barach v'ishtabach v'par v'idromam v'idnase v'itadar v'itale v'italal shemei dekucha le'ela min tol birkata v'shirata tushvechata v'nechemata da'amiran v'alma Yehe Shlama Rabba Min Shemaya V'chayim Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael V'imru Amen Ose Shalom Bim Romav U'yase Shalom Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael V'imru Amen.
class is continuing our study of the book of Job. You will find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 8, the right-hand column, where it says, Hevle of Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach. When that landing page opens up, please scroll down to the bottom where it's talking, listing the book of Job. I recommend you open up the Machon Mamre on the book of Job, which is the first link under the statement book of Job. And then we are in the section that says, Chapter 1a, verse 12 in Hebrew, and verse 11 in commentary. And we will start in the commentary with verse 11. It says, BB 11FF. The Satan demands that Job be tested to see if he will not blaspheme when he has a taste of suffering. God gives Satan authority to destroy Job's wealth and kill all his children. Yet even in the face of these terrible calamities, Job does not complain that God has been unjust. Instead, he stoically states in his immortal words, "Naked I came forth from my mother's belly, and naked shall I return there. Hashem gave, and Hashem took away. Let the name of Hashem be blessed." And I am adding, Satan does not bring the fact that Job never gave a share of his income to Satan, only to Hashem, only as an oleh, an elevation offering. And I am adding, and for verse 13, so we will now transfer to the Machon Mamre, the book of Job itself, where we will read, starting with verse 12 in the Hebrew.
Vayomer Hashem el ha-Satan, Hine kol asher lo biyadecha, Rak elav al tishlach yadecha, Vayetze ha-Satan me'im p'nei Hashem.
The English translation. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13.
Vayhi hayom uvanav ubnotav oklim. Veshotim v'yayin bebeit achihem ha-bechor.
And it fell on a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Returning back to the commentary, where I will start where it says, I am adding, relative to verse 13. Why do we need to know that the calamities happen on a day the children of Iyov are feasting? And why is it important to know it is the house of the firstborn? Does this imply that the children have now reached adulthood? Or did Iyov give his children their own homes so he did not have to witness the frivolities of children and thus discipline them? We will now read verses 13 to 19 on the from the book of Job itself. Verse 13 in Hebrew. Vayehi hayom uvanav uvnotav oklim v'shotim yayin b'beit achichem b'habechor. And it fell on a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Verse 14. Umalach ba'el yiyo, v'yomar ha'bachar, i'hayu or shot, v'hatonot ro'ot al yedeichem. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. Verse 15. Watipo shva latikahem v'et ha'narim hiku lefi charev v'amilta rak ani levadi l'hagid lach. And the Sabaeans made a raid and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only have escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 16. Nafla mina shamayim, vativar batzon uvanarim, vatochlem, vaimalta rakani levadi, vehagid lach. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, a fire of God has fallen from heaven, and has burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. The 17th verse. O Zemidaber, Wizebavayomar, Kasim Samu Shilosha Rashim. Vayifshetu al hagmalim vayikahum v'et hanarim chiku lefi charev vayimalta rak ani levadi lehagid lach. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans set up themselves in three bands and fell upon the camels and have taken them away, yes, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only have escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 18. Adzem edaber v'zebavayomar Banecha uvnotecha Oklim v'shotim yayin v'beit achichem ha'bechor. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Verse 19. Wehine ruach gedola ba'amever habit bar vayiga be'arba pe al hanariv v'yamuto v'ami malta rakani levadi lehagizlach. And behold, there came a great wind from across the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Returning to the commentary. I'm adding in comments to verses 13 to 19. Notice the step-by-step notification of the various aspects of destruction of the children and the assets of Iyov. Why does the Torah add these extra words and verses? It could be said in one verse, indicating multiple messengers and multiple items destroyed. Returning to the book of Job. Verse 20. Vayakam Iyov vayikra et meilo v'yagaz et rosho Vayipol arca vayishtahu. And Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Verse 21. Vayomer arom yatzati mi beten imi viarom. Ashu shama Hashem natan Vahashem lakach Yehi shem Hashem mivorach. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22. Bekol zot lo chata, Iyov lo natan, tifla l'Elohim. For all this, Job sinned not, nor ascribed aught unseemly to Elohim. Returning to the commentary page, and I am adding in respect to verse 21, the English translation ends, blessed be the name of the Lord. A more literal translation would be, there is the name of the Lord from blessing. In verse 22, there is the assertion that Iyov was without sin, yet we do not know who is making this assertion. Is it the writer? Is it Hashem? I've asked questions in this commentary. I have not given answers. There are many answers that can be applied. The structure of four different verses or five different verses announcing the destructions one step at a time emphasizes the loss of everything. Even somebody reading a story about another person would not truly comprehend the full extent of the law if it's put in one verse. If Hashem had written, or if the book had written, Eob lost his camels, he lost his sheep, he lost his goats, he lost his children. If we read all of that in one verse, would we feel the horror of this loss, the extent of this loss, that we do by reading each verse individually? And how human is Job? He does not appear very human when he's not really mourning. Yes, he's going through the actions of what was mourning in biblical times. But is he truly mourning? Does he feel the loss? What human being could feel the loss, having heard from messengers one after the other, having heard that I've lost everything? There's nothing left. There's nothing to recoup. Is his wife still young enough to have children, to replace these children? And of course, people do not have children to replace children. They have children because they want children. Is Eob a human being to be presented to the extent of this loss and respond in this way? Would Hashem judge Eov harshly, based on the level of a tzaddik, and say, how could you blame me for these things? When in truth, Hashem gave his permission for these things, as we have read already. There are so many questions and so many answers. Is Eob a human being? I'm continuing in the commentary section for chapter 2.
I'd like to make a comment.
Well, go
some comments, if I can remember, because right at first, well, my first thought was that the reason it was extended the way it was so we would see that the Satan could not take anything away that Hashem didn't get permission, like you just said. Another thing that I noted was it wasn't just one enemy that came in. It was the Sabaeans and then the Chaldeans. And many, many years ago, I think it was about 1986, when we bought a piece of property to build a house on, and I came to learn about the history of that property. And at the time, I was teaching, and we were living with my father at the time, because we had sold our other house. And it was in January, and every morning I'd read the Torah before I'd leave for school and do my prayers. And I was in the book of Job, and I learned about, I just read about the Sabaeans, and I linked the Sabaeans to that property. And when I really did a big study, I found that the Sabaeans traveled from that area, if you want to call it, you know, the Mideast, to Rome, and then to the Sabine River. And I don't want to get into the details about that, but the same thing happened. They destroyed the cattle and the goods in the area in which a cattleman that had the property that we were buying, that was, he wanted to raise cattle, and he went to go get cattle from Texas, and on the way back, the cattle ate from the brush, and they died, and it was linked to, you know, some other stories. But anyway, I saw the traveling of these negative entities through the generations and through all the way from the East to America. And even if he isn't a real person, I don't know. Then I think, too, we think of a house, because the word house is used. But in those days, wasn't it tents? And if you had 10 children, would you want those 10 children in the same tent with you and your spouse? I don't think it was a negative thing that possibly they each had their tents. And as far as the oldest one, maybe the reason, and see, we think, oh, drinking wine, you know, that necessarily they were older. But when we went to France, everybody drank wine at every meal and thought nothing of it, just like we drink water. And it wasn't to excess. They didn't get drunk. They had low cholesterol, even though they were eating cheese, too, you know, at every meal. So I think because we're thinking with the Western mindset of house and children and I think it was mainly tents back in those days, not actually houses. And what I don't understand was, and I was taking bread out of the oven, so I'm not sure I can find exactly where you said it. It had to be with that Job didn't share his wealth with the son. How would you do that? Was that the dough from the challah that he was not doing? Or how would you give Satan part of your finances? If that's what I understood, maybe I didn't understand it correctly. And I'm sorry I can't find the verse right off, because I was trying to take my bread out of the oven before it had burned.
That's all right, because I will answer your question. I do want to make a comment. My comment was not based on the Western mindset, at least I hope not. Yes, you're right. In biblical times, there were tents, but there were also houses in the cities. They didn't build tents in cities. They built structures. So, and the Western mindset of our understanding of a house may or may not apply, and the points you've made are well taken. The question that I'm really asking is a question that was asked earlier by other commentators. Is this a real story about a human being, or was it made up to teach various aspects? We don't really have answers to that, because the questions are not clear. The answers are not clear. And that was the point of my commentary. The mm-hmm. question you're asking is, how do we know that Eov never gave anything to Satan, and how would he do that practically? If you read closely about the sacrifices, there are many different kinds of sacrifices. There's the incense, there's the animal offerings, there's the meal offerings. And the Torah says, well, the meal offering is for the poor person, and there's pigeon offerings, which are for poor people if they can't afford an animal, and so forth. But there are many different reasons behind the various offerings. Very different, many different reasons for each offering.
And the question is, doing the burnt offering, right? He was doing the burnt offerings all the time. That's basically a thing.
And the burnt offering has no sharing except to Hashem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see that now.
Consumed on the altar by the fire, and the smoke rises directly to Hashem. There's no sharing inherent in that offering. It's only a sacrifice for a selfish reason. That's not to say that all olas, all burnt offerings, are for selfish reasons. But we are told that all of his offerings, or at least all that we are, that's written about, is the burnt offering that rises totally to Hashem. But if you look at the pigeon offering, if you look at the animal offerings, if you look at the incense, there are aspects, peace offerings especially. The peace offerings, parts of the animal go to the Kohen, parts go to the Levi. Mm-hmm. Most of it goes to a community of 50 people, as we are told in Jerusalem in those three holidays where everybody is told to come to Jerusalem. They celebrate together in the streets of Jerusalem in groups of 50. And if your group is only 35, 15 other people are put into with your group, so that there were enough chairs and everybody is seated and everybody is eating. But they're all sharing. They're a community of groups of 50. Very significant information. Why 50? Why not 100? Why not 20? These questions need to be asked, and they are asked in the Talmud. They're answered in the Talmud. They're answered somewhat in the Zohar. But every other sacrifice other than the Ola, the burnt offering, has aspects of sharing, whether it's to the Kohen alone, whether it's to the Israelis as well, the third category, not a Levi and not a Kohen. And that's where that information comes from. It's a statement that I heard directly from Rabbi Berg. And again, just as he told me, do not believe a word I say, test for yourself. So when I read the book of Job, I realized where his statement is coming from. What is it totally true? Is it the only truth? That's for each person to decide for themselves. In my commentary, I am saying what I've been told by Rabbi Berg, but I'm also putting my own thoughts into the question. And that's why I didn't write this commentary. I verbalized it. Because I don't have answers to the questions that I've been asking. I have some answers, but they're not complete. They don't fully satisfy me. Go ahead, Hannah. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No. Well, sometimes I interrupt you, you know, thinking here's where I got to put it or I'll forget it. But I was not being critical. It's just that these were the thoughts that came to me, you know, as I was reading. I remember my very first class that I taught to adults in 204 at the synagogue. Was to say, well, okay, so all these things were brought, you know, for the offering, but God doesn't eat. And that was an eye-opener for them, you know, to know that parts of the offering were shared and eaten by the people, you know. So I well understand, yes. But you answered it very well, and I got more than I bargained for, so thank you.
And I thank you, because as I always say, I learn more from my students than I teach to my students.
Yeah. You know, we were also taught that even, you know, the book of Esther, that they really don't know if it was really a true book. I used to hear that all the time. And I said, well, it doesn't matter. There's those lessons there. So whether he lived or not, you know, if he was a true person. But knowing that at the very end, we're going to see his family, everything restored, if that isn't a picture of reincarnation or Gilgalim, you know, to me, that's one of the best examples, you know, right there. So I've said enough. Thank you so much. You answered it very well for me. But there's still a lot more to ponder.
There is much more to ponder. And I just would like to, just to clarify what you said about the Book of Esther. There are people who are questioning whether it's a real person, she and Mordecai. There are people who say that Mordecai was the leader of the Sanhedrin, which still existed in Jerusalem, even though there was the exile, and that he would travel between Jerusalem and whatever the capital city was that Ahasuerus was in.
Shushan.
And that there were others that said that it was Daniel who was Mordecai. So, but one thing that we do know, whether it's a valid truth or not, we do know that there is a monument, a gravesite in Persia, which is now Iran, and that gravesite is has not been attacked by the Muslims, to my knowledge. There is a gravesite that we identify as the grave of Esther and Mordecai. And we say that
they're still on the internet, because I've printed them and shown them to my classes, so I know they're there. Well,
and there are people who say that Mordecai was the soulmate of Esther, and yet they did not marry because he was her uncle. So, but they came as for the purpose of drawing a child through with Ahasuerus, but people say she never was intimate with Ahasuerus, but they drew a child that eventually became the king of Persia, known as Darius, I believe the second, although there's confusion between Darius first and Darius second. But one of the Darius authorized the rebuilding of the temple. And so that had to take place, and it is attributable ultimately to Queen Esther. So there are many questions to be answered when the resurrection of the dead takes place, and we will get our full and complete answers. And in the meantime, our time is up, so which is really a good thing, because we would have probably not finished chapter 2. But I will make one further comment just quickly, and hope it solicits further thoughts. And that, as I asked about why do the verses separately about the destruction of his assets and his children. In chapter 2, there's not 22 verses. There's only, I think, 12. I'd have to look to be exact. But it's a shorter chapter, much shorter than chapter 1. So it's not like the Torah would not have combined the four into one verse if there was not a reason for it to be done this way. So the question that I have, that I've asked, is a valid question, and there are many possible answers. Shavua Tov.
I just look, there's 13 verses, and we know what 13 means. So
thank you.
So that's meaningful too.
And that is very meaningful. It's 13 is the the number of unity.
Yeah.
And the 22 and the 22 is meaningful as to related to the 22 letters. So we have all these connections that we don't make as we read, but they're there. Our soul makes those connections. Even if we're not on our conscious level, our unconscious is making those connections. Even if you're not good in math, your unconscious is good in math. Shavua Tov.
Okay, Shavua Tov. Thank you.
We do have a class this afternoon on continuing our advanced reincarnation. So have a beautiful week. And I remind you that our Rosh Chodesh connection is the evening of Thanksgiving at the 7 p.m. West Coast time. While I understand that there will be people who will feel that they need to be with their family, and I understand that, these are conflicts that we all have. What is more important, spirituality of to Hashem or spirituality to family? Each person has to answer that for themselves. Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov.
Shalom to all.